Yes, Happy New Year. That was overwhelming. I just want to say, whatever you had to drink a couple nights ago, it hadn't worn off yet. Happy New Year. Hey, there you go. You're out there. It's good to see you. And especially if you're just checking things out, checking us out maybe for the first time. You picked a great day to be here. All of you picked a great day to be here because if for nothing else, you have perfect attendance in the new year. All right, congratulations. Well done. You can call your grandma. Some of you can go home, call your grandma and say, Grandma, I got perfect attendance in church this year. And she's old. She won't, you know, she'll think it was something and you can make yourself look good for your grandma. But how many of you, all right, show of hands, you know, it's New Year's and all. How many of you made a New Year's resolution? At least one. All right, four of you, all right, the rest of you are perfect, all right, well done. I guess for the four of us, we can have a little talk this morning, the rest of you can listen in. I was reminded, I was thinking about resolutions, about what Charlie Brown said when Peppermint Patty asked him if he made any New Year's resolutions, and he said, yes. He said, you know how I usually dread the whole year? He said, well, this year, I'm just going to dread one day at a time. So maybe that's your method of looking at things as well. For those four of us that made resolutions, or I'm going to broaden it. If you've ever made a resolution, how about that? If you've ever made a resolution, raise. Okay, there we go. How many of you are never going to raise your hand no matter what question I ask you? Okay, that's, yeah, about four of you. If you have made a resolution recently, sometime that you can remember, how many of you made a, what I'll call it, a negative resolution? You resolved to quit doing something, to get something out of your life. All right, me and Randy, the only two people with bad habits, all right? Again, well done to the rest of you. How many have made positive resolutions? Like, I'm going to start something. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to add something. Okay, there we got a few more ones. Those are safer to talk about, generally speaking. I mean, New Year's, that's when you talk about most common resolutions, of course, or what, diet and exercise, right? Most of us have been there and done that and got the bigger size pants. You know, you've got financial goals, you know, you want to get out of debt or save more, you know, spend less, whatever. All of those goals, we make those goals, why? Because we are acknowledging that we're not there yet, wherever there is and whatever the category is. So we make physical goals, we say we want to eat more healthy or lose weight or whatever, because we acknowledge that we're not where we want to be physically, right? I mean, obviously, if we were exactly where we wanted to be physically, we wouldn't ever make any of those resolutions, which is 98% of you. We just acknowledge that we're not there yet. But the reality is, if you just make a resolution, and maybe this is why some of you, most of you, have quit making them, is because you made them in the past and didn't follow through, you realize that just a goal or a resolution without a plan is just a dream. Right? If we don't take some next steps, if we don't actually do something about the goals or the plans that we made, we won't get anywhere. And so that's the case whether you're talking about spiritually, physically, financially. If you've made a plan or a resolution to eat healthier or lose weight, you've got to take some steps. You've got to actually go to the grocery store, buy healthy food. Right? Maybe you pack that food in a lunch, so then you don't go out to lunch to, you know, McDonald's or whatever. If you've made a resolution to spend less and save more, or not use your credit cards as much, maybe your next step is you actually cut up your credit cards or put them in a safe place where you can't get to them. But if you don't take steps toward your goal, you'll never get any closer to your goal. Now, this morning, kind of a dangerous thing, but I'm going to assume a couple of things about everybody, all right? Now, here's the things I'm going to assume about all of us. I'm going to assume that since you got up early, somewhat early, on a cold Sunday morning in January, that at some level, you want to be closer to God. You want to take a next step in your relationship with Him. Now, you might not even put it in those kinds of terms. You might just say, well, I want to be more forgiving, or I want to be more patient, or I want to be more loving, or something like that. But in some way, that's something in you that says, I'm not spiritually, I'm not the person that I really wish that I was, and I want to take another step toward God. I'm going to assume that about us since you made it the effort to be here at church on Sunday. And the second assumption I'm going to make is that you're not there yet, just like I'm not there yet. Am I safe in those two assumptions, right? That we're not there yet. Anybody there exactly where they want to be in their relationship with God? No, none of us are there yet. And so this morning I want us to accept that and understand that. And the reality is, if there was ever anybody in the history of the world that was there, spiritually speaking, it would be a guy named Paul, right? If you're familiar with church, you know that Paul is, he's big in the Bible, all right? If you're unfamiliar with the Bible, if you, you know the New Testament, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the first four books. We call those the Gospels. That's just the story of Jesus. It tells about what Jesus did when he was here on earth, all the miracles that he did and all the lessons that he taught and all that kind of stuff. That's found in the first four. Then the fifth book is called the Book of Acts, and it's the beginning of the church. It tells how the church came about. And then, like the next 473 books, well, that's what it seems like, it's a little less than that, Paul wrote, all right? So Paul wrote a whole lot of the New Testament. So if anybody had his act together, spiritually speaking, if anybody was at a place in their relationship with God where he could say, I'm there, it would be this guy named Paul. But in fact, he didn't say that. In our what's going to be kind of our theme verse for our next few weeks together in Philippians chapter 3, and it'll be on your on the screen, it says this. Brothers and sisters, he writes, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul acknowledged that he wasn't there. And if a guy like Paul, who wrote half the Bible, wasn't there, spiritually speaking, then certainly none of the rest of us are either. And we all have next steps that we can take. And so the bottom line for today and for our whole series here in the month of January is simply this. No matter where you are in the journey, and we're all on a journey, right? You might not even think about yourself being on a journey, but you are. You're on a journey, on a pathway somewhere. No matter where you're at in your journey, the most important thing is to take the next step, right? If you want to get closer to your goal, no matter where you're at in relationship to that goal, no matter where you're at on that path, no matter where you're at on the journey, the most important thing is to take the next step. Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at some specific next steps that people who are Christ followers can take to help them along the path, to help them take a next step closer to Jesus. We're going to be looking at things like spiritual disciplines, you know, like Bible study and prayer and things like that. We're going to be looking at serving, you know, taking a step around to the other side of the counter. We're going to be talking about sharing our faith. We're going to be talking about maybe joining or forming a small group and things like that. But the reality is, for some of you here this morning, your next step toward Jesus, toward God, the next step on the path is actually your first step on the path. Some of you need to take that very first step and take that first step toward God to accept Jesus, to become a Christian, however you want to say that, and to get baptized. Now, I know a lot of you, or at least some of you, have thought about that in the past and thought, yeah, that's really something I ought to do. And you've hesitated, you've put it off, you've procrastinated. Well, I want to tell you that at the end of this series, on January the 31st, we're going to have a special day. We're going to call it just a decision day. And that's a day for people to, guess what, make a decision, right? If you've been putting it off, if you've been hesitating, if you've been procrastinating, if you've been saying, yeah, I know I ought to do that, but I've never really got around to it. Well, this is your day to do it. Plan now to be here. Invite your family, your friends. Get your questions answered. Talk to me, talk to Mike, talk to somebody. But plan now to make January the 31st your decision day, where you're going to say, yes, I'm going to take my first step of faith. Now, the reality is you can come and get baptized today, tomorrow, the next day, but I know that if we put a date out there and say there's going to be other folks that are going to join you, some of you, that will be the push that you need to do that. Plus, as Troy mentioned and earlier, everybody who gets baptized on the 31st gets a free chili dinner afterwards. Of course, everybody that day gets a free chili dinner afterwards, if you were paying attention, but that sounded better anyway. January the 31st should be an exciting day for people to kind of step across that line. Again, you don't have to know everything. None of us know everything. We're all works in process. We're all growing. We're all learning. It was Martin Luther King who said, you don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And so I would encourage you, if that's you, if you're just a what you would call a seeker, or you've never really taken a step to follow Jesus, that you would do that later this month on the 31st. But the reality is, no matter where you are in the journey, if you're just starting, if you've been on the pathway a long time, maybe a really long time, no matter where you are in the journey, the most important thing is for you to take a next step, because everyone has a next step. How about this for a profound quote? I came across this. Robert Louis Stevenson said this. Everyone who got where he is had to begin where he was. All right? Are you with me on there? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? All right. Everyone who got where he is had to start where he was. No matter who you look at, whether it's someone who is the perfect physical specimen, they didn't always start that way. If it's someone who's got their financial act together, it wasn't always so. If you look at somebody who thinks that person has their spiritual life together, it wasn't always like that. Everyone who got where they is, where they are, had to start where they was. All right? And so what that means is the most important thing this morning isn't where you are now. It isn't what happened yesterday. It isn't what happened last week or last year or the rest of your life. The most important thing is today and what you do moving forward, because the reality is this. Nobody can change the past. You can't go back and change it. As much as we would like to, most of us would like to go back and change at least one or two or a million things about our past. We can't do it. Can't go backwards. But what we can do is we can change today, and we can change tomorrow, and we can change the future. Because here's the story. Next year, you will be somewhere. How's that for profound? All right? Next year, the first Sunday of January 2017, you will be somewhere. Right? You'll be somewhere physically. Okay? You'll either weigh more or less than you do right now. Think about that. All right? You'll be wearing the same pants, or you won't be able to. All right? You'll be in some place financially. You'll either have more or you'll have less. You'll be somewhere spiritually. You'll be either closer to God or you'll be further from God. Since we're going to be somewhere next year at this time, wouldn't it make sense to try to take the steps to be closer to the goals of where we would actually want to be in those areas? And the way we do that, the way we make sure we get further down the path, is to take the next steps in each of those areas. Of course, here at Ellisville Christian Church, we want to be a church that helps draw people in to a growing relationship with Christ, so that wherever you're at on the path, whether you're just starting, or wouldn't even say you're on the path yet, or whether you have been going for a little way, or you've been on the path your whole life, that wherever you're at on the path, you can take the next step. Because spiritually speaking, we all have a next step. Every one of us has a next step, spiritually speaking. Every person in this room, there is a next step that you could take to get yourself closer to God than where you are today. Everyone has a next step, and so wherever you're at on the journey, what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks is to encourage and exhort and entice and do, I'm going to do everything that I can to, in everything in my persuasive powers, to get you to take the next step, whatever that would be. Now, this morning, we're going to look at an account that in the Bible, and some of you have heard of it, maybe some of you haven't, probably most of you have heard at least a little bit about it, but I think it's one of the most incredible, maybe unbelievable accounts in all the Bible. It's kind of neat, and some of you are going to go, no way, that's impossible, and others of you are going to go, yeah, I remember this is cool. But whatever you think about it, all right, as we talk about it, it shows one person taking his next step toward Jesus, and we'll see what we might be able to learn from it. We're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 14, or verse 22. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to it. If you don't have a Bible, there's one maybe in front of you, under the seat in front of you. It's on page 948. How's that to make it easy for you? Page 948 in the Bible under the seat. Or it's going to be up on the screen. Any of those, you can follow along in this story. Now, to catch you up, what happened just before this, Jesus had just done an incredible miracle. He'd fed the 5,000 people. If you grew up in Sunday school or know much about church, you know a little bit about the story of the feeding of 5,000, where Jesus was teaching, a whole bunch of people came, it got to be supper time, there's no McDonald's, there's nothing to do with them. He says to his disciples, you give them some food. They said, you're crazy, there's thousands of people, we have no food. He said, see what you can come up with. They came up with one boy who had a sack lunch, right? Five loaves of bread, little loaves of bread, two fish. And so he was going to make a fish sandwich, but instead Jesus fed thousands and thousands of people. It was an incredible miracle. And right after that, this is what takes place. All right? Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 starts this way. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. So Jesus does this great miracle. It's late in the day. Everybody's tired. The disciples are tired. So he tells the disciples, all right, you guys get in the boat. Go back across the lake. I'll catch up with you later. I'll dismiss the crowd. So Jesus dismisses the crowd. Then after the crowd's gone, he goes up by himself to pray. All right. Later that night, he was there up on the mountain alone praying. Verse 24, and the boat with the disciples in it was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Right? So he sends them on. He goes to pray. They're in the boat, not getting too far, but they're quite a ways away, but they're not as far as they should have been because of the wind. All right. Verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to... This is where the story gets kind of interesting, right? And hard to believe if you're not sure you believe all this stuff. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were what? They were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. All right? So put yourself in the disciples' shoes for just a moment, all right? Put yourself in their sandals. It's been a long day. They've seen stuff they've never seen before. Jesus puts them in a boat. They're supposed to have a couple-hour trip to the other side of the lake, but it's taken them all night long. They're tired. They're exhausted. They're frustrated. And then all of a sudden, through the darkness, they see someone, something, walking toward them on the water. They're scared to death. Now, before you say, "Oh, a bunch of hillbilly, uneducated people thinking it's the ghost," well, think about it, all right? How many of you have heard of ghosts? All right, I'm not talking believe in ghosts or seen ghosts. How many of you have heard of ghosts? All right, we've all heard of ghosts. Now, how many of you have seen someone walk on water? All right, it's not so crazy, all right? It's not so crazy for them. They're out in there in the middle of the night. They've been out there all night. They see somebody coming. They've never seen anybody walk on water before, but they have heard of ghosts, so their brain went to one of the only logical explanations. This has got to be a ghost, because obviously a person couldn't walk on the water, right? So this is crazy. They're saying, it's got to be a ghost. They're terrified. Now, it's hard to believe, I understand. It was hard for them to believe, okay? That it wasn't just like they said, "Oh, here comes Jesus walking on the water, no big deal." No, it was like, it was blowing their mind. They thought it was a ghost. So if you think it sounds strange, imagine how they thought it was. They'd never seen it before either, okay? Maybe you've heard the story before. There was no story before this. No, nobody had heard of this. This was the first time. All right, so this is... that part's actually not the weird part of the story, all right? The best part of the story is what comes next. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." All right, so they're terrified. Jesus says, "Don't worry, it is I. Take courage, don't be afraid." And then Peter says, this is my favorite statement made in the whole Bible, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Now, just think about this for a minute, right? I don't know how your brain does. My brain, when I read this, I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here in this account? So the disciples see this thing, person, something coming toward them. Their initial impression is they're terrified. They think it's a ghost. So they speak to this ghost, this thing, this person, and they say, or it speaks to them, and he says, "Don't be afraid. It's me. It's Jesus." And so Peter speaks to the ghost slash Jesus and says, "If it's you, tell me to come out there and walk on the water to you." And the ghost slash Jesus says, "Come." Now, at this point, Peter had a decision to make, right? And his decision is this. His question that he had to be asking himself are, would ghosts lie? That's the question I would be at. What are you? Hello. All right. It's New Year, all right? We're a little slow on the up. What would you be thinking, all right? You think it's a ghost. The ghost tells you. I mean, if you was a ghost, what would the ghost say? "Yeah, come on out, all right? This ought to be fun, all right?" But maybe your brain doesn't think like me. Be glad that your brain doesn't think like mine. But I think about stuff like that. It's like, what would they be thinking? And so Peter had to be thinking, I got a decision to make. Is this really a ghost? If so, would the ghost lie? Would they tell the truth? If it's Jesus, he said, "Come." So I'm going to go for it. Peter makes his decision. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Now stop right there. Don't go further. Even don't look ahead. Maybe you know the rest of the story and your brain wants to go to what happens next. Think about that for just a second. Now Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. That's amazing. That's incredible. That is totally unbelievable. In fact, some of you may be thinking, I don't believe that. And you would not be foolish to think that, because that is what common sense says. Because it is impossible for someone to walk on the water. We know that to be true. It can't happen. But the Bible says that it did happened that Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water. It's amazing. Nobody had ever done that before or since. Right? There was that David Blaine special, but I'm sure there was something weird, you know, going on under the water there. David Blaine, magician. Are you with me here this morning? All right. I feel like I'm kind of up here by myself. I'm struggling. All right. Help me out. Help a brother out. All right. Peter did some incredible thing, right? Some amazing thing. If you know the story, it goes on. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And I'm thinking, if Peter had little faith, his little faith allowed him to walk on the water. What does that say about my faith? I've never really done anything like that. In verse 32, when they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Well, that's the story. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe it was new to you for the first time. But that's the story. And before we go on to kind of some application points, I just want to make a couple of observations about the story, all right? One observation is this. There may be times in your life when God may send you into a difficult situation because he wants to see how you respond. And he has something in store for you if you respond in a certain way. He might have something amazing for you. There's sometimes in your life God may send you into what he knows is going to be a difficult circumstance just because he wants to encourage you or to give you an opportunity to do something incredible, right? A lot of times we think that, you know, we go through a hard time and God doesn't know what's going on or Jesus has forgotten about us, but who sent the guys to the boat? Jesus did. The text actually says that from the mountain, he saw them out in the boat struggling against the waves. He knew they were going to struggle against the waves. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what he was sending them to, but he sent them to it anyway. He knew it was going to take them hours and hours to take what should have just been a 2 or 3 hour trip across the lake. He knew. So whenever you're in a difficult situation, don't think that God doesn't see you. He sees, right? He knows. Right? And the second observation is this, just because you're walking in obedience doesn't mean things are going to be easy. Right? Did you know that? A lot of times we get this idea of if we're obeying God that everything is going to go well for us, that it's going to be easy for us. That makes sense to us. It seems like that's how it should be. That seems only fair and only right and what we deserve, but that's not at all what the Bible teaches. It's certainly not what this story indicates. Just because we're obeying God doesn't mean things are going to go easy. I mean, they were doing exactly what Jesus had asked them to do, right? He told them to get in the boat and go across. They were doing everything they could to obey Jesus. And yet things were not going well for them. They were fighting and struggling and rowing against the wind all night long. The reality is, just because we're walking in obedience doesn't mean things will get easier. In fact, they very well may get more difficult. Obeying Jesus might very well make your life more difficult. Still the right thing, but it makes it might make it more difficult because the Bible says there is an adversary, there is an enemy of our soul who, once we begin obeying God, who will really come after us and try to make things difficult for us. So just because your things aren't going smooth doesn't necessarily mean you're walking against what God is saying. And sometimes when you obey God, things don't get easier, they get harder. Okay, three applications from this story. We're saying that throughout this series, and that we're all on the path somewhere. We're all somewhere along the journey. That wherever you find yourself on the journey, the important thing is to take the next step. And so here's three application points that we can learn from Peter's experience. First one is this, if you're taking notes. Taking the next step can be scary. Taking the next step can be scary, so it requires courage. Think about it. The boat was a safe place for Peter. Peter was a fisherman, the Bible tells us. And so he was comfortable in a boat. He was familiar with a boat, being on a water, on boat, very comfortable, familiar, very safe place for him. Now, he was getting nowhere fast, but he was safe. He was comfortable. It was known. He understood what it was to be in a boat. And this morning, you may be comfortable where you are. In fact, I'll go out on a limb and say you are comfortable. We all are comfortable where we are, at least to a certain degree. That's why we're there. We're in where we're at because we're comfortable with it. It may not be everything we dreamed of. It may not even be anything we would wish for, but we are in our rut, and it became a rut because it was comfortable for us, because it was known to us, because it was safe for us. Even if it's not everything we thought, it's safe, and it's known. And just as Jesus was calling Peter to step away from the boat, to step away from the safety, to step away from what was known to him, out into something very scary, Jesus may be calling you to take a next step toward him, and it may be something unknown to you. It may be out of your boat, out of your safety spot, away from the status quo and toward him. And that can be scary. So it requires courage. The second thing, taking the next step can be lonely. Taking the next step can be lonely. It requires resolve. It requires focus. It requires determination. The reality is that for the three of you that made resolutions, you may be the only one in your family who resolved to eat healthier or to lose weight. Have you ever been the only one in your family? That's difficult. That's a hard spot, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to eat right. You're trying to eat your little, you know, elf salad, and everybody else is having pizza or cheeseburgers, and it's very difficult if you're the only one, right? Maybe you've heard the saying, especially as it relates to kids, give them an inch and what? They'll take a mile. Well, there's another saying that has to do with moms. It says, give mom an inch, and the whole family goes on a diet, all right? So maybe that's, you know, because it's hard to do it alone, right? It's very difficult to do it alone. How many of the other disciples got out of the boat? Zero, right? Peter was the only one. Sometimes taking the step is lonely. Nobody else will do it. You may have to go it alone. You may be the only one in your family who has taken that step to follow Jesus. You may be the only one in your family on a Sunday morning. This is very difficult to get up when everybody was up late and to get up and go to church because you want to learn more and to take your next steps. You might be the only one in your office. You might be the only one in your school. You might be the only one on your team. You might be the only one in your exercise class that wants to honor God with your life, that wants to remain sexually pure, that wants to spend your money in a wise way, that wants to follow God. You may be the only one, and that's lonely. And that's difficult. And so it requires focus. It requires determination. It requires resolve to say, even if no one else goes with me. We used to sing a song growing up at church camp called I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. One of the lines was, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. That's the kind of resolve that you need. Even if no one in my family, even if no one in my school, even if no one at my workplace wants to honor God and wants to take the next steps. Even if everybody else in my family wants to watch this show and I know I shouldn't, even if I'm the only one, still I will follow. Sometimes it's lonely and so it requires determination, resolve, focus. The third thing, taking the next step can seem foolish to others. Sometimes taking the next step can seem foolish to others, and so it requires faith. Here's a question: that were the other disciples, as they were watching Jesus and they were watching this happen, were they jealous of Peter and his faith? Were they sitting in the boat thinking, man, he is so brave. I wish I could be more like him. Look at him. He's out on the water. This is awesome. I wish I could. Were they that, or were they like, there goes Peter. He's shooting off his mouth again. He's so stupid. He's going to get out of the boat. He's going to sink like a rock. I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking, all right? But my guess is, it would tend toward, at least at first, would have tended toward that first one. Because again, nobody had ever seen that before. People don't walk on water, all right? It doesn't happen. It's not like, oh, well, if you're a Christian, then that makes sense to you. People walk on the water all the time. We'll come tomorrow. We'll walk on water. No, people don't walk on water. It doesn't happen. And so the other disciples, they're like, I'd be thinking, Peter, you're a fool. You're an idiot. You're stupid. Why would you get out of the boat? You're going to sink. The reality is, when we take our next step, people in your family might think you're crazy. They might think you are just totally nuts for following a superstition like the Bible, for believing that old-fashioned stuff is true. Even if your family, and that's very difficult if your immediate family thinks you're crazy, right? I mean, a lot of our immediate families think we're crazy, but for good reason. But I'm talking about because of your faith in Jesus, right? But even if your immediate family doesn't think so, I can promise you the culture will look at you like you're crazy because the culture thinks we are crazy, right? The Bible says that the people out there will think we're stupid. It says the wisdom of God seems like foolishness to the world. It can happen, will happen. Taking the next step can seem foolish and requires faith. It requires faith that God's way is the best way for Peter. It meant he had to have faith that Jesus was who he said he was, and that it was safe to do what Jesus said to do, or it was the right thing to do what Jesus said to do. For us, it might simply mean that we just acknowledge that, God, your way is better. Your way is the best way. Living my life the way you would have me to is the best way. You have to have faith in that. When other people are thinking you're dumb, whenever people are thinking you're foolish, you have to have incredible faith to know what I am doing is right. God is faithful. He is who he said he is, and his way is truly the best way. I believe in 2016, God is calling you to step away from your boat, to step away from the status quo, from what's normal, and take a step toward Jesus. Maybe just a baby step, but he wants you to come in his direction. No matter where you're at in the journey, in 2016, the most important thing is for you to take that next step. We want to grow in our relationship and to take our next step. And when we do that, it could be scary. It could be lonely. People could think we're crazy. All right? But that's what Jesus is calling us to do. It may require us to give up things. It may require us to add things. It may require something of us. In fact, it will require something. So what is your next step? What is the next step Jesus is calling you to do? I don't know, but everybody has a next step. For some of you, maybe your next step is simply just to show up next week. Really, it was all you could do to get here this week, and you think, okay, I'll give it one more shot. Maybe that's your next step, is just to come back next week. And if so, welcome, please do. Maybe your next step is like we talked about. Maybe your next step is your first step to say, yes, I'm going to join. I want to become a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. I want to get baptized. And again, we can do that any day. We're looking forward to several doing that on January the 31st. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe your next step is to grow deeper into a spiritual discipline of Bible study or prayer. Maybe it's stepping out in faith to tithe, to become a percentage giver. Remember, I said it could be scary. All right, not just to throw in a 5 or a 10 or a 20 every once in a while, but just to say, no, God, I'm going to honor you with a percent, 10% even, maybe. Scary. 10% or some percent of my income to trust him to take care of the rest and provide for us as we're obedient to him. Maybe it's trusting God enough to step out in service and to say, I'm going to step around to the other side of the counter. I'm not going to be served all the time. I'm going to step around to the other side, and I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve people. Maybe that's your next step. Maybe it's joining or forming a small group because we realize that that's how life change best happens, is in those small groups. Maybe it's a step of faith, giving up some sin that we've been holding on to that's really keeping us from taking our next steps toward him. But no matter what our next step is, no matter what your next step is in the journey, the most important thing is to take it. To take that next step. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for your love for us. Your love for us that gives us a second chance at a fresh start. God, not because it's the beginning of a new year, but because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That he forgave all the stuff that we've done so that we can start fresh with you. God, I just pray that no matter where each one of us are at on our path, on our walk, on our journey through this life, that you would give us the courage to take our next step towards you, whatever it might be. Help us toward that end, in Jesus' name, amen.